Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you want to, you can be turning to Romans 10, and I'm only going to read three verses. But if you want to, turn with me to Romans 10. Verses 9 through 11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There are some who confess with their mouth because they have believed in their heart, this heart being the new heart given by God. There are some who confess with their old wicked heart, that heart that deceives them always. There was a time when I did not confess the things that I now confess. Being in darkness, I confessed my work and my worth. I confessed that I had accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. The problem with that is Christ had not accepted me. The world, which I was once in the world, is always confessing what they do for God. We know from Scripture that this is not what the believer is brought to confess. My own experience confirms God's word that left to myself, I will do nothing but confess myself as if that is anything to God. In Matthew 12 and verse 34 it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And again in Luke 6:45 we read, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So it is out of the heart that causes us to confess, whatever confession that might be. A believer does not confess what they do or do not do. However, what we do and do not do does matter. We reap what we sow. Scripture also says God is not mocked. You will not spit in the face of God and it be okay. Romans 6 and verses 1 and 2 says this, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God gives us the answer. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But yet, we do still sin. So what are we left to confess? First of all, a believer cannot confess what or who he does not know. He will never know unless he hears, and he will not hear unless someone is sent to him to tell him. I want to look at confessions of a believer. It says in Matthew, speaking of John the Baptist and those from Jerusalem, Judea and all the region surrounding Jordan that came to John. This is what it says in Matthew 3 and 6. It says, And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. First of all, we confess our sins. This is not a confession of our sins to men, but to God. We may acknowledge to men that we are sinners, but we are never told to confess our sins to men. But we do confess our sins. The Scripture does say we confess our faults one to another. It says in James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What are these? This word here are faults. This word means a sideslip. These are things we do as a believer that might offend both God and our fellow believer. Confess those to one another when they happen. What does this do? It lets us each of us know that we are mere men and do have faults. I do not want to know about all of your sins. But if there is something that is done in public that might dishonor our Lord, then confess that. But only to one another, not to the world. But in 1 John 1:9 we read, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The He there is God, Jesus Christ. We confess our sins to God Almighty and He will always forgive us. It says here that He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. A believer given sight, made to walk, made clean by God, given life by God, knows that they are by nature. They know that this nature is totally opposed to who God is. He confesses that everything he has done and will do is not worthy of his acceptance. There is not one confession about himself that is positive. Other than this, in and of himself, he can positively sin because he is sin itself. So what else do we confess? We confess Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32, we read, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So what do we confess about Jesus Christ? First of all, we confess that Jesus is the Christ. He is that one spoken of in all of Scripture as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There is one that is testified of in the Old Testament as being the seed. That's Him. That's Jesus Christ. That seed who is the elect of God, the first fruits among many brethren. The one typified in the sacrifices who would take away the sins of His people. The one who would be that daysman betwixt God and man, bringing them both together in peace. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is something we also confess. Mark 1:1 it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the only begotten of the Father, the one with whom God the Father is well pleased, the one who is a sweet-smelling savor unto God the Father. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God. Who does it say that God is as we read in the Old Testament? In Exodus 3:14 we read, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. But then we read in Mark 14:61-62 that Jesus Christ says, he says, I am. It says in Mark 14:61-62, it says, but he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. But then again, we read in the garden, we read in John 18:4-6. It says, Jesus therefore knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as they had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. The believer is also brought to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the great I Am who has come down to this earth in human flesh. He was made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. The believer also confesses that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is God, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Jesus Christ is Lord of all. This is Lord of all things. People, things, happenings. God Almighty is, and Jesus Christ is, sovereign of the universe, you might say. And all, more than the universe, everything. But Acts 10, verses 34 and 30 through 36 reads, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." So, he is our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, but he's also all these things. This is what the believer confesses. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is my cloud and pillar of fire. He is my buckler. He is my rock. He is my help. He is my comforter. He is my savior. He is my brother. He is my friend. The believer is brought to confess that Jesus Christ is all. If this is not your confession, but rather what you do or do not do, then you are not a believer. 1 John 5 and 10 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So the believer confesses the record God gave of his Son. This record is found from Genesis to Revelation. Is confessing Christ important? I'm going to give you three verses that let us know it is important. And Scripture says, in the face of two or three witnesses, everything should be established. Here's three witnesses. Matthew 10 and 32. And we've already read one of these. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." Again in Luke 12 and verse 8 it says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." And in Revelation 3 and verse 5 we read, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So confessing what we are to God is something a believer confesses. Confessing who Jesus Christ is something that every believer does. This is not a secret confession. What we have read already, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made, and this confession is made before men. We're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. We do this because we have heard of him. Romans 10 says, verses 13 through 15, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So God in time will send someone to those he has chosen from before the foundation of the world to tell them to tell them of the one that they will confess. By the life and faith given them, they will believe Jesus Christ and will confess all these things in time. But there's one more thing that a believer is brought to confess. And please turn with me to Mark 9. Mark 9. Beginning in verse 14. Mark 9, verses 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. And this is what every believer is brought to confess. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.
Right.
Who do you confess? Mac, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that thou hast given us to assemble ourselves together. We thank thee, Lord, for the many blessings of life. We thank thee most of all for our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for preparing a place where we come together and hear the truth of the gospel, because there's so little of it preached today. Heavenly Father, be with Walter as he stands before us, and Joe, and give him strength and teach him the things that thou need us to hear. And these things we ask in his name. Amen.